Admissionado listeners, and welcome to another episode of the League of Extraordinary Applicants, the podcast where we chat about what it takes to create a winning application in today's super competitive landscape. I'm Cleo Handler.
And I'm Stephen Black. We're your official tour guides for this insider's journey. Each week, we'll tackle a specific topic to give some insight into each of our Ivy League experiences. Cleo, why don't you start off by telling everyone where you went to college?
I went to Yale. Graduated in 2012 with a double major in psychology and theater studies. And Stephen, why don't you tell everyone about your college experience?
First, let me ask you, is majoring in theater, is that a requirement at Yale or is that optional?
Oh, it was optional. Yeah, I don't think it would have been very possible for me at Harvard, where people have less fun.
Yeah, okay. I mean, less fun, more dramatic at Yale. I get the whole thing. Well, anyway, I went to Harvard. I graduated in 2007. My major was visual and environmental studies. So that was really a great topic, and I loved my time there. So yeah, basically today our topic is choosing your list of schools. It's something that can be potentially nerve-wracking. I mean, with so many schools out there, how can you really make the right choice?
We're going to first talk about how we made our own personal decisions, and then we're going to open it up to some bigger picture advice.
Okay, I want to start first with Cleo, because Cleo is an aberration in the application world. So why don't you start telling us how many schools you applied to, why you applied to that many schools. Just give us a little bit of background about how you chose your list of schools.
Well, as Stephen said, I think I was a bit unusual in this process because I applied to 17 schools. I don't recommend that. It was incredibly overwhelming for me. But I was just a very neurotic applicant, and I was paranoid about not getting in anywhere. So I probably overdid it a little bit. Then I ended up having 17 options. So it's wonderful at the end when you can finally choose. So I would recommend applying to definitely a few schools in each kind of category. The important thing is really to have a lot of balance in your application. So a few real reaches, a few more reasonable choices for your, you know, your grades and your testing scores and everything, and then a few more likely schools. But yeah, I don't think like six in each category is necessary.
Yeah, I want to cut in here and just say, for anyone that's taking notes, Cleo not only applied to 17 schools, she got accepted to 17 schools, which I think in and of itself is ridiculously impressive.
Well, thank you for for being my hype man over there. It was a pretty overwhelming process. But just to give you guys a sense, I was from California, so I applied to a few of the UC schools, Berkeley, UCLA, UC Santa Barbara. And then I applied to all of the Ivies except Dartmouth randomly. I don't know why I suddenly felt the need to be picky, but I guess I just didn't know much about it.
Could be because it's freezing there, and being from sunny California might be too much of a transition.
Yeah, it seemed a bit extreme, I guess. But then there were a few other ones in between, like wonderful schools in the Northeast: Vassar, Johns Hopkins, Wesleyan, Middlebury, NYU. That's pretty much all I can remember. But the important thing to take away from my crazy process, I think, is that it really is important to give yourself some options and to have a real balance.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, basically, just want to point out that, you know, Cleo pulled this off successfully, and this is a rare thing. I mean, you will not meet many people who not only have gotten into everywhere they applied, but also applied to 17 schools. Most students apply to half of that. But basically, I mean, it just is a testament to Cleo's incredible skills. She obviously crafted 17 really awesome applications. But again, like I said, she's the exception to the rule. I mean, it's so impressive what she did. I couldn't pull it off. I think a majority of people listening couldn't pull it off. But if you can be as incredible as Cleo in devoting your time to creating 17 incredible, unique applications, then I would say go for it because it's if you can do that, that's just more power to you.
Well, thank you. But again, I really think I went a little overboard. I'd say anywhere maybe around 8 to 10 schools is pretty ideal. And that's basically what you did, right, Stephen?
Yeah, so I applied to 10 total schools, and just a few things of how I chose my list of schools, which weren't necessarily the greatest way to choose the list of schools. But again, I was 18. I also had parents who were very overprotective. So one of the things is that, I only applied to schools that were in driving distance to my house. That was my parents being overprotective because if God forbid anything went wrong, they could hop in the car and be there in a few hours. I mean, the story that Cleo tells is very common of students from the West Coast who say, look, of course I applied to colleges on the East Coast. There's just a sort of bigger saturation of the good schools out there, and why wouldn't I? And yeah, at one point I was interested in applying to Stanford, and my parents nixed that quickly because they were like, you're not going anywhere where you need to fly. So, I get it in retrospect. They were overprotective. The one good thing about this, though, is I visited almost every school on my list before I even applied, which was good that I had an idea. I know you, Cleo, had a different experience with school visits.
Right, I think that's a real bonus actually that you were able to do that. But again, if you're not able to visit all your schools before you apply, don't let that stop you from applying. I think I applied in the fall, obviously, and then went on a big winter break trip with my mom to the East Coast and looked at a bunch of them. And then once I knew I had gotten into some of these schools, I went back and looked again in April. And that was really just about like narrowing down the top choices. But so you can continue to visit over the course of the year, especially once you know what you're actually considering really heavily. You can go check those out later. So don't let it stop you, even though it is a real luxury to be able to see them beforehand.
Yeah, I mean that's a really good point. It's also when you're applying to the Ivy League schools, basically each school is going to be an excellent institution for higher education. So, I mean, visiting or not, it's okay to apply to them without actually setting foot on campus because at each one, I mean, no matter what, you're going to get a first-rate education. Your degree from any of the Ivy League schools or any of like the top tier schools is going to be important for you later in life. So yeah, I would say if you can't afford to visit, if you don't have time to visit, I mean, I see a lot of people, a lot of applicants in California who do the same thing, and I think it's okay. There's time to visit later on, and I think, but from my personal perspective, I did really appreciate visiting all the schools that I applied to. It was probably the summer before my junior year where my parents and I took like a road trip and we went to visit, most of the colleges. So basically, I applied to Harvard, I applied to Yale, Princeton, and Brown. Those were my reaches. My possibles were Williams, Amherst, Duke, and Colgate. Actually, Duke and Colgate were the two schools I didn't visit because they weren't in the sort of New England or New Jersey area. And the safety schools I applied to, being a student from New Jersey, were Rutgers and College of New Jersey. But I would say when I visited the schools like Yale, Princeton, Brown, Williams, and Amherst, and Harvard, I really got a good sense of what the school was like, and it helped solidify my decision of, yeah, this is definitely a place I could see myself studying for 4 years, and this is a place where I really want to apply. So yeah, I would say that's my main point about visiting. you know, like Cleo said, it's not, you know, it's not necessary, but it's a good thing. And I mean, Cleo, you had an idea, I know, about qualities when you're visiting in a school, like what you look at, and something that's you know, deal breakers or not deal breakers. What's your
Right.
take on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately you should live and choose by the admissionado rule of go to the best school you can get into, because that's really what it comes down to. But I just wanted to point out that if there are certain things that would be deal breakers for you if a school didn't have, say, a specific program or certain professors you really wanted to work with, an urban environment, a lively theatrical community for me, things like that. If you actually wouldn't end up going to the school, then don't waste your time applying or visiting, because these applications are time consuming. Like Stephen said, you really want to do justice, you know, to all of your applications and do as wonderful a job as you can. So don't let yourself get bogged down by schools that you feel you should apply to if you're just actually not going to be that interested when it comes down to it.
Yeah, I mean, I would totally echo what you said in terms of that there are certain things when you visit certain schools that are deal breakers. And on the flip side, I mean, I would also caution students against having perceptions of schools and then not even applying because it's a deal breaker. I mean, I know,
Right, that's
like,
true.
I've mocked Cleo for this before, but the perception is that New Haven is a dangerous, dangerous place to be, which is where the Yale campus is. In reality, it's not. You know, Yale is a has a great security measures that they take, and also it's just really not the area around the campus. I mean, I've been there a couple dozen times, and I never once felt unsafe. So that to me is like a difference of perception and reality. I had never visited Columbia, even though it was half an hour from my house. I'd never visited it, and it was because my dad said, "Oh, it's in a really rough part of Manhattan." And I was like, "Okay, well, I guess I'm not applying there." I mean, it turns out, yeah, it's next to Morningside Park, which can be sketchy at times. But I had friends who went to Columbia and loved it and never once had an unsafe experience. And I spent a lot of time around there after I graduated because it's where my brother went to medical school. And there was a big part of me that regretted not even looking at this school because of somebody's perception that they told me, "Oh, it's in a bad part of town." So I would
Right.
say if you're visiting and when you're selecting your schools, it's good to figure things out for yourself because sometimes you just can't listen to people and what their ideas are of certain places.
Right. I just remembered to give you guys a sense of what I mean. I think Stephen is completely right about that you really should visit and find out for yourself when you can. But it was important to me to be in, if not a city, at least like a pretty lively community. And I remember Williams is obviously a wonderful school, but I was looking at a brochure about it, and they were saying, as one of the assets, like, you know, Walmart is only a 15-minute bus ride away. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, I am not going to be happy there. It's not worth, you know, spending months devoting my time to applying. So just keep in mind what you're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, I had the same experience when visiting Williams, and it's essentially there's just it's like a one street town, and you're like,
Right.
"Oh, that's interesting. This might get old quick." But again, I mean, I've had people, I have friends who had went there and had great experiences. So, you know, it's to each his own, and you should keep all those things in mind when you're choosing your list of schools. The point that I want to make about choosing your schools, this is the takeaway point, is that I chose 10 total schools, right? Four reaches, four possibles, two safeties, and I gave 100% to each application. I mean, Cleo definitely did that with 17 applications. Like I said, the vast majority of people can't pull that off. But for me, I know if I went over those 10 schools, I would have watered down the other applications, and it just wouldn't have been good for my chances of admission at any of the schools. If I added seven more schools, I would have 17 apps, but I would have 17 weak applications. I had 10 really strong applications because I could really focus on each one. I ended up applying Harvard Early Action, and for me, the strategy of early action is a good one. It increases, actually increases your admissions chances. For Harvard, it takes them from something like 5% to 10%, and it's also non-binding, meaning you don't have to go there. But here's the thing. What are the mistake a lot of people make when they choose schools to apply to that have early action is they rush their application because it's early in the process, and they make their application generic and usually like a watered down common application, and they rush it because they need to submit it too early. On the other side of things, my Harvard application was probably one of the best ones I wrote because I started maybe in September. It was due November 1st, and I devoted 100% of myself just to this application. And it was only when this application was done, even before I sent it in, that I started working on the other applications. But that's something I would really recommend, is that no matter how many schools you choose, you need to be able to give 100% of yourself to each application. And if you can't, then there's no reason to apply to that many schools. You need to cut down the school list and figure out the optimal number for you on how many schools you should apply to and what's going to be the best that you can devote the most of yourself to each application.
Right, I completely agree with that, and I think that, like Stephen said, start early. Start as early as you can because the applications are going to suffer from a lack of time and attention. And that's what happens to a lot of people. So if you have a few extra days, even weeks, to let all of that sink in and to edit and to, just make it better and better, you're going to have a stronger application as a result. So really give yourself as much time as possible.
Yeah, I definitely want to echo that time management point, because it is just, I can't tell you how good of a feeling it is to have an application done long before the deadline, not only because it makes no re makes there's no reason to submit it necessarily long before the deadline, but what I would do is I would finish an application early, I would work on other applications, and I'd come back to the application that I was first working on with like a fresh set of eyes. And so this really helps. And this really helps the entire application process. If you're selecting your schools and doing all the applications all within a month of the deadline, I mean, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be totally stressed out. Your list of schools might not even be that well thought out, and you'll end up not putting into each application the time that it deserves.
Right, I completely agree with that.
Yeah, so let's move on to some general advice. This is a sort of summation of the points that we've talked about. And yeah, we'll each take a turn just giving you a major point that we think you should have taken away from this. So the first point, like I said, is a good balance. And it tends to be, I call it like a 3 by 4 by 3. Of course, this isn't exactly the formula that I adhered to, but this seems to work for a lot of people. So that means 3 reaches, 4 possibles, and 3 safeties when you're choosing your list of schools. 10 is a pretty solid number. For some people, it's 8. For some people, it's 6, and that's okay. Whatever the number is for you, just make sure you strike a balance. Make sure it's not, 5 reaches, 2 possibles, and 1 safety. That's a little, that's not totally balanced. You should ideally have more possibles than reaches and safeties, and reaches and safeties maybe around the same number, maybe a couple, 1 or 2 more reaches than you do have safeties.
I think that sounds pretty smart. And when talking about reaches, for those, obviously visit if you can, but those are the ones that are very competitive. If you want to just throw your hat into the ring and apply anyway without visiting, you can always visit later. I think the ones that you need to visit the most would probably be those possible schools, because those are ones that you are pretty likely to get into. You could actually be considering them pretty strongly. So you want to know which ones are the best fit for you.
Yeah, I
And then
think.
again, safeties are less important to visit, but if you can, definitely go for it.
Yeah, I think that's a good point about visiting the possibles, because it's like those are the schools, yeah, that you have the best chance of getting into, and you want to make sure you select those four schools or whatever that are schools you would actually go to, that if you didn't get into any of your reaches, that one of these possibles like is going to be the school for you. And so that's something that's really important. But again, I mean, we mentioned this before, if you can't visit anywhere, really, it's not a problem. There's millions of ways to gather info about a school, especially in this age of technology. You can take virtual tours on the school websites. You can download classes from and like listen in on maybe a certain class that you're interested in. I mean, there's a million ways to sort of get to know a school virtually. That being said, it's not, you shouldn't mistake that as a substitute for actually going and talking to people and meeting students and professors. Like, obviously, that's a much different experience. But again, if you can't visit anywhere, not a huge problem. There's a lot of different ways you can get some info about a school. And hey, worst comes to worst, give the admissions office a call. Ask them, I mean, with most of the great schools, if you give them a call and say, hey, look, I'd just like to chat for a few minutes with a current student in the program I'm interested in, say I'm interested in economics and I want to chat with a current economics student at school X, they'll do a good job of putting you in touch just so you can get a feeling of what it's like and what this person's studying and how they're getting along at their school. So I think that's really, that's another possible option if you can't visit.
Right. It always is a good idea to ask. You could maybe be set up for a Skype appointment with someone. You could they could send you specific materials you're interested in. They could arrange a school visit if you're willing to go and spend a night. Like Steven said, there are millions of ways to do it, so don't be afraid to ask. And I think that's pretty much it for today. Steven, is there anything else you want to add?
No, that's it. I think we covered it all. I think choosing your list of schools, if by now you should understand it's an important topic, but it's potentially nerve-wracking, but it can be done the right way. And just follow our advice. That's what I'd say.
All right, we definitely covered a lot today, talking about both of our strategies for school selection. So now hopefully you guys will have a better idea of how you should go about this potentially challenging but totally doable process.
Next time, we're going to finally dive into that all-important application topic. We know you've all been waiting for it, the essays.
Woo! It's about time. But for now, we want to thank you all for joining us on this episode of the League of Extraordinary Applicants. We hope that our advice helps you get that much closer to achieving application success.
Please don't hesitate to email us with any questions, and we'll make sure to answer as many as we can in future episodes. Hit us up at podcast@admissionauto.com.
We're excited to hear from you. Questions, comments, feedback, whatever's on your mind. All right, Stephen, that's all for this week.
Join Cleo and me next time for another installment of the League of Extraordinary Applicants.